morning, radio listeners, and thank you for tuning in to this weekly White Way broadcast. The hope that you are all well and happy. I want to start this discussion by reading from Shinran's writings. Countless Amida Buddhas reside in the light of the Buddha of unhindered light. Each one of these transformed Buddhas protects and brings us to true and real awakening. Namo Amida Butsu. After the BWA convention in Canada in May, a group of us took a tour of the Canadian Rockies and Glacier Park. It was a wonderful and great tour, and one of the highlights was going to Jasper Park and the Icefields Parkway in Calgary. We rode across the surface of Columbia Icefields Athabasca Glacier, getting there on an all-terrain ice explorer on a bus with huge oversized tires. It is located along the border of British Columbia and Alberta, Canada, partly in the northwestern tip of Banff National Park and partly in the southern end of Jasper National Park. What was amazing to me was the so-called Continental Divide, where the meltwaters from the Columbia ice fields feed streams that flowed into three oceans, the Arctic, Atlantic, and the Pacific. All throughout the tour, we saw many, many rivers and lakes that were fed by the melting ice of the glacier. The rivers were flowing rapidly, not the slow meandering type that you would imagine, but the real fast flowing type, with waterfalls appearing periodically. I began to think, all these things that we're observing and enjoying all contribute in their own way to our own enjoyment and sustenance of life. Without the snow falling on the mountains throughout most of the year, we have no ice. The melting ice fields feeds the streams that ultimately empties into the three great oceans of the earth. Along this tortuous route, it gives sustenance to the forests, its multitude of animals and other wildlife, including fish in the rivers. The waters of the rivers and streams are diverted by man so that we can enjoy the water for our own use in agriculture, electric power, and drinking water. We are all connected in this wide, wide web of so-called Indra's net, where each knot of the web is attached to glittering, shining diamond of many colors of the spectrum, each radiating a light of its own, and each reflecting their light upon each other, reminding or teaching us that each and every being, each and every living thing is as important and valuable as one another. We must take care of what we have, what sustains us in life, and reflect on the unimaginable benefits we receive from life itself. What I wanted to do is to lead up to this. On the earlier part of the trip, we bussed down into Montana and stopped at this little restaurant to enjoy lunch. We had about an hour, I believe, so after lunch I went out of the restaurant, saw a little lake, and saw a mother goose with a few goslings swimming around in the pond, just slowly meandering around, dipping deep into the water at times, looking for something to eat, or maybe she was teaching her kids how to survive in this world. It reminded me about the nature of geese. I know that you may have heard this story before, but I would like to share it with you again. The nature of geese and its behavior reminded me of my responsibility as an individual when working together as a team. I think that it is an appropriate and is a great analogy to share when we face the challenges that we have today in the sustenance and maintenance of our temples. We struggle to maintain membership, we struggle to increase membership, and we struggle to get assistance in many of our programs. Did you know that geese are very different from other kinds of birds? Well, they fly in a V formation. Why do they? I learned that as geese flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the birds behind it. This means that for the geese that follow, they are being held up by a little bit of air pressure created by the geese in front of them. And as the geese that follow do not have to work as hard to fly, these geese are able to fly long distances, and flying in a V formation in a group gives them a 71% greater distance compared to if the geese were flying alone. People are like geese in many ways. People that work as a team to share a common goal or have a sense of community get to where they are going quickly and easily because if they're working together as a team, they're relying on the thrust and energy of each other. When geese fly in a V formation, the goose that is in front, the lead goose, is doing most of the work. Since that goose has to fight the force of the wind and has to determine the direction that the whole group is flying to, that lead goose has to fight the drag and the resistance. That lead goose takes the point and breaks the wind for the geese behind it. The other geese that follow benefit from that draft and as a result don't have to work as hard. And you can see this in sports and other activities. Bicyclists, drag racers, speed skaters, cross-country skiers, and others do the same thing when traveling in a group. They follow right behind someone so that they can conserve fuel and energy. Something about geese that is also different is that when they're flying in a V formation, you can hear them coming from a long distance away. You're able to hear them honking. That is because the rest of the geese are honking from behind to encourage the geese up front. When the lead goose gets tired, it drops back and another goose takes point, moves up to the front, and so these geese take turns in doing the hard work. They take turns in leading the group. So that makes sense, taking turns in doing the hard job and stepping up when the lead goose is tired, because keeping up in this kind of a pace is like being in charge of an organization alone, and this leads to burnout ultimately, if it's the same people taking point all the time. In our Sangha, we are thankful and grateful that we have many people stepping up to maintain and sustain our temple and its many activities. Our temple leaders and members who chair the many committees and many others who have led and are continuing to lead us into a common direction so that we may be better able to fulfill our mission to propagate the teachings. The honking that you may hear at times are really, in essence, I hope, words of encouragement, gratitude, and appreciation. For members, it is of paramount importance that we as a Sangha help out and support our temple in its many, many activities. I have heard people say that we need more activities, but activities mean people, and without people, we can't have activities, can we? Working as a Sangha is not always fun and games, and making the tough choices is not easy going, and it rests on these leaders. But things have to get done, and somebody needs to take charge, because they do not get done all by itself. There then, all of us have to do our part. Continuing on with the story of the geese, when a goose gets sick or it can't continue to fly in formation anymore, it flies out of formation, but it does not go to the ground by itself. One or two of the other geese will fall out of formation, follow it down, and will stay with that goose and help that goose and protect that goose until it got better or until it died. Only then will they either try to rejoin the other group, the original group, or try to find another group to join. Only then will they take care of themselves. Geese truly care about each other, and it shows how they work as a team. It shows it in their interactions with one another. Although there are birds, geese can teach us a lot about the Buddha Dharma and a lot about life as well. We can learn from geese that we are karmically bound to each other, and that we are interconnected, and that we are not separate. Like in the mythical Indra's net that I mentioned earlier, we are all bound together like a web, and each is as precious as the other, shining brilliantly and reflecting a beautiful light upon one another. We, like geese, can work together and accomplish much more together than we would if we were to try to do it by ourselves. The founder of Jodo Shinshu Buddhism, Shinran, understood this reality of interdependence in regard to living life together in a community or a sangha. Shinran referred to us or our sangha in the phrase Ondobo Ondogyo, or fellow travelers on the Nimbutsu path. I truly believe that this term, although strictly a religious one, can be applied here, as essentially everything that we do in the community of the temple is the Dharma. For in each and every instance, there are lessons to be learned, not only to see ourselves as we truly are, but also on the path to become a true human being. Let us all live truly in Ondobo, Ondogyo. Thank you very much for listening. Have a great day today and always. Namo Amida Butsu.